Amen. God bless you, Brother Ken. Thank you for giving us such a tremendous and vivid picture of the gospel. If you have your Bibles this morning, brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you to turn again to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're entering our second full week of not meeting together in person because of the COVID-19 crisis, and I felt led of the Lord to return to Philippians chapter 4 this morning to finish this chapter and this letter to the Philippian church, as Paul has some great words that he shared with them that I think are appropriate and applicable for us. And so just in case you weren't with us last Sunday morning, I just want to remind you at the beginning of Philippians chapter 4 that the Philippian church had their own crisis that they were experiencing. And it certainly doesn't seem to be of the same magnitude as our crisis. You see, there weren't any who were sick per se, not any who were dying, not any who were quarantined or needed to be isolated, but it was a crisis nonetheless, a crisis that they were not happy to be experiencing. There were two ladies in the church, and if you were to look there in your Bibles in chapter 4 and verse 2, you would find their names, Euodia and Syntyche. And they were at odds with one another. They had a sharp disagreement, and their disagreement was dividing the church. And it pained the Apostle Paul to hear of such division. And so he wrote a portion of this letter specifically to them, asking them to come together and to be of the same mind and to be united in Christ. And Paul even called upon a couple of individuals in the church, yoke fellow or Susagus and Clement, asking these brothers to help bring these two ladies together. And Paul encouraged the Philippian church that in the midst of their crisis, and certainly also in the midst of our crisis, to resolve to endure, because the Lord is still in control. And rejoice in the Lord, because His Word tells us that He is working all things for our good and for His glory. And to respect others, and even though that may be difficult to do in our present day, in our present circumstances, because certainly there are people that we disagree with who are handling matters differently, who are thinking differently, who are acting differently. And yet Paul tells us to respect everyone, but to rest in Jesus' coming. We know that Jesus' coming is closer today than it was yesterday. And then lastly, to request of God in prayer. Just as we requested of God just a moment ago, praying for an end to this crisis, praying for a cure for this virus, praying for protection for us as individuals and our families and our church and our community and our county. And this morning we return to Philippians chapter 4, and specifically verse 8, and how the Apostle Paul finished this letter, and how this text again applies to us this morning. And just to let you know, if the Lord wills, I do plan on returning to Mark chapter 11 next Sunday morning to finish that chapter in our study of Mark's gospel. But there are three action points that we can see this morning, that I want us to see this morning, beginning in verse 8. And the first action point that I want to share with you this morning. In the midst of crisis, dwell on the good, and the result will be God's presence. Let me say that again. Dwell on the good, and the result will be God's presence. Beginning there in verse 8, Paul lists six adjectives, six descriptions in identifying what is good. And so let's consider them together this morning. True is that which is honest. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, and whatever things are noble, noble is that which is worthy of respect. And whatever things are just, and just is that which is right compared to wrong. Brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you this morning that in fact there is absolute right today. There is absolute right in a confused world, in a confused culture, when they want to tell us that truth is relative, when in fact truth is absolute. Paul says, whatever is just, whatever things are pure, pure is that which is free from sin. And whatever things are lovely, lovely is that which promotes peace rather than conflict. And whatever things are of good report is that which is positive rather than negative. And when we can identify such, Paul says there at the end of verse 8, meditate or think on or dwell on those things. Perhaps there are other things that come to your mind that meet all of these criteria. But the one thing that immediately comes to mind for me is God's Word. I read this past week, I can't remember if it was in an email or an internet article, but Billy Graham was being interviewed toward the end of his life. And he was asked if he had any regrets or if he would change anything or if he would do anything differently. And he said if he could live life all over again, he said, I would spend more time studying God's Word. Now that says a lot about perhaps one of the greatest evangelists that our world, our history has ever known, for him to say, if he had to do it all over again, he'd spend more time studying God's Word. For many, because of our current crisis, our schedules have been changed. We have certain restrictions and certain guidelines that we're trying to abide by now. And it may seem that we have more time. And I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning, brothers and sisters. It absolutely is important that we stay informed. It's absolutely important that we stay up to date and we get the news and the information that is being provided for us. And at the same time, there's not much new on television right now. We don't have to worry about keeping up with our favorite sports team. And I would suggest to you this morning that there are times, perhaps throughout the day, and certainly throughout the week, that we need to take a break. We need to take a break from all of the dark and the grim statistics of COVID-19. And so if we think that we have a little bit more time, or if our schedule is different and will allow us such, instead of more time on Facebook, instead of more time on Pinterest, instead of more time on social media or Netflix, can I encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, to spend more time in our Bibles? Meditate on, think on, dwell on God's Word. It's absolutely true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report. I mentioned it to you even last Sunday morning, and I want to mention it to you again today and point you in this direction. And in one day when Brother Richard has come and gone, and when you are older, I hope and pray that you will remember that Brother Richard was always pointing us to read God's Word, to read those five psalms a day. I read my five psalms this morning, Psalms 141 through 145 on this 29th day of the month. And reading that one chapter of Proverbs, that daily wisdom for your daily relationship with Christ, reading Proverbs 29 on this 29th day of the month, and then also reading through God's Word in a year, pointing you to a plan or an app that will guide you and direct you and such. And notice the result. Notice the result when we dwell on that which is good. Verse 9 says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Last week, we saw the peace of God. The peace of God that transcends all understanding and all comprehension. The peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And today, we don't see the peace of God, we see the God of peace. The God of peace that is the result of us dwelling on that which is good. Brothers and sisters, perhaps more so than anyone can ever remember who is alive today, we need God. And we need God to intervene. And so let us dwell on the good, His Word. Secondly, I want us to see, beginning in verse 10, discipline yourself to be content, and the result will be God's provision. Discipline yourself to be content, and the result will be God's provision. There in verse 10, Paul tells us of another personal experience that involved a love offering that was given to him by the Philippian church. When Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church, he was on house arrest in Rome. More than likely, he was even shackled to a Roman guard as he penned this letter, and so the chains would creak and rattle. But before he was arrested, he was in need of financial assistance. And Philippians chapter 4 tells us that the Philippian church was the only church that helped him. However, notice what happened before Paul received their offering. Notice what happened before he received their financial assistance. He disciplined himself to be content or to be satisfied. Look there in verse 11. Verse 11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, or I have disciplined myself in whatever state I am to be content. And he says it again in verse 12. I have learned, or I've disciplined myself, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. It's not our natural disposition to be content. Our natural disposition or our default mode is to want more house, to want more clothes, to want more car, to want more land, to want more toys. However, in verse 12, Paul said that he had been abased or without, and he had learned to be satisfied or content in that state. And he had also learned to be content or to be satisfied when he abounded or was full. And then verse 13, you see the key. The key to learning or disciplining yourself to be content. It's there in Philippians 4, verse 13, that we have memorized God's word. We have hid it in our heart to provide us great comfort during difficult days. Paul says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We wear that verse on a t-shirt. We wear that verse on a hat. We wear that verse on a bracelet or on the ring. There are several applications here before we move on. First, we learn that our contentment is independent of our circumstances. Let me say that again. We learn that our contentment is independent. It does not depend on our circumstances. We think that we will learn contentment when we have a lot. No, Paul said that he learned contentment when he had a little. We think we'll learn contentment when I have this size of a house. I'll learn contentment when I'm able to drive this particular car. I'll learn contentment when my retirement portfolio has this amount in it. No, Paul said that he learned contentment when he had a little. And he learned contentment when he had a lot. Therefore, discipline yourself today independent of your current state. Can this apply to our COVID-19 crisis? Absolutely. I would encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, there's no reason to hoard or to stockpile hand sanitizer or toilet paper or eggs or bread. The body of Christ, we can learn to be content, independent of our circumstances. Secondly, we so often quote Philippians 4:13, but unfortunately, we often quote it out of context, and therefore not applicable to our particular situation. When you're doing what God wants you to do, yes, absolutely. You can succeed and you can prosper and you will succeed and you will prosper because of Christ strengthening you. However, hear this warning this morning. When you're doing what you want to do, in contrast or in opposition to what God wants you to do, Philippians 4:13 does not apply to you. When Paul disciplined himself or learned to be content, it was then that God provided for him through the Philippian church. Verse 14 says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, verse 17, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. And then in verse 18, Paul tells us and reminds us that it was a man named Epaphroditus who actually delivered the assistance. And the Philippian church's gift was a pleasing aroma. It was a sacrifice to God as they assisted Paul. Now watch that again. The Philippian church, they were giving their gift to Paul. And yet at the same time, they were serving the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I've shared with you in recent days, how essential it is that you continue to be faithful and generous in your giving to Emory Baptist Church. It's been so encouraging to me this past week. Many of you have come by the church office and you've brought a check or you've brought your offering envelope. And I'm confident that there were also those who mailed in to P.O. Box 248. They mailed in their check to Emory Baptist Church. I would again remind you that more than likely you're able to set up in your online banking, in your bill pay app, the ability to also contribute to Emory Baptist Church. And then again, our online giving is available at emorybaptist.org. But just like Paul was in need and wrote about it to the Philippian church, I'm just, again, thankful and grateful for your faithfulness because your church needs your continued faithful giving. Our missionaries around the world, they continue to need your faithful and generous giving. And when you meet those needs, you're in fact serving the Lord. You're in fact giving a sweet-smelling aroma, a sacrifice unto the Lord. And when we learn to be content, brothers and sisters, look at verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul learned to be content, and in his learning to be content, God provided for him. And consequently, because the Philippian church was faithful and generous in their giving, then they also would receive God's provision to them for their faithfulness and their obedience. And to God be the glory, verse 20, because of Jesus meeting our needs and for believers being faithful unto the Lord. And so we have seen this morning this action point of dwelling on the good, and the result will be God's presence, and disciplining yourself to be content, and the result will be God's provision. And then one last point, beginning in verse 21. Deliver a greeting to your brothers and sisters, and the result will be God's partners. Deliver a greeting to your brothers and sisters, and the result will be God's partners. Don't miss these last three verses. Paul encouraged, there in verse 21, his Philippian brothers and sisters to greet everyone on his behalf. Greet every saint, because every saint is important. Every saint is significant. Every saint is a member of the body of Christ. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me here in Rome greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. It is imperative in times like this that we stay connected as a body of Christ. And it may be harder right now because so many of us would connect on Sunday mornings, or we would connect on Sunday afternoons, or we might connect on Tuesday nights, or Wednesday mornings, or Wednesday evenings, or Thursday senior adult ministry choir. And so again, it may be difficult or more difficult right now, but you know what? We have this great tool. This great tool that it certainly can send text messages, and I have sent text messages to many of you, checking on you. And one of my daughters this past week made the comment to me, "Dad, you sure send a lot of text messages." Yeah, I do, right now especially. Checking on members, trying to make sure that we know of member needs. And certainly it can send emails, but you know what? You know what our phones can do? They can still call others. And in fact, I did that this past week. I called some members. Are you doing okay right now? Is there anything that we can do for you right now? Brothers and sisters, we need to deliver greetings. We need to stay in contact. And when we do, we understand that we're not in this alone. We may be isolated to some degree. We may be social distancing in our own home. We may not have seen people in a while. But yet, we understand that we're in this together. And we have God's partners with us. And we are praying for one another, and we're trying to encourage one another, and we're trying to stay connected right now as best we can. And so this morning, brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that God's word to the Philippian church has been an encouragement to you this morning. An encouragement for you to dwell on the good. An encouragement for you to discipline yourself to be content, independent of your circumstances. And an encouragement you to deliver a greeting to your brothers and sisters that you may not be able to see as frequently as you had previously. For some of you this morning who are tuning in with us, my invitation for you today is for you to become a part of the body of Christ. You're not currently a part of the body of Christ. You have never received Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. You've never been born again. I want to invite you this morning to become a part of God's family. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And if you are tuning in this morning with us and you're not a part of God's family, you're not a part of the family of God, I'm going to invite you, just wherever you may be, to silently pray with me, perhaps even repeating after me as I pray, admitting that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and in your place and for your sin, and then calling on the name of the Lord to save you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you're joining us this morning online and you're not a part of the family of God, you're not a part of the body of Christ, you've never trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord, again, I'm simply going to invite you to pray with me and even repeat after me, wherever you may be. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I admit that my sin separates me from God. I admit that I have sinned against you and I've sinned against others. But please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please wash me. For I believe that you, Jesus, died on the cross in my place and for my sin. And today I accept this invitation to call upon your name to save me. And so, Jesus, please come into my heart, come into my life, sit on the throne of my heart, and be my Lord and be my Savior. And I will do the best that I can from this point forward to live a life that is honoring of you.